Buongiorno everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the ID Element show on Channel 9. Today we are guest of Jörn Tellin, who is an historical figure in web services. Hey Jörgen, how's it going?
Hi, it's good.
All right. Jörn, it's our tradition to start every interview with a bit of a history about the victim of our interview. So, would you care to share a bit about your history with Microsoft and with IT in general?
Cool, yeah. So, I've actually been at Microsoft for 6 years, as of next week, in fact.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I joined the company from a web service startup called Cape Clear, and I went straight into a team that was working on web service standards. So all those WS star specs, that was the team that did it.
Nice.
And, it was good. We did a lot of good things there. A lot of particularly innovation around the way those specs were developed. The whole interoperability testing of them. We actually got some really good specs out of them, I think, because of that process. So that was 4 years of my life at Microsoft. And, see what we've got there in all the products like WCF that are already shipping. And then 2 years ago, I moved to what was then the Live ID team. It's now called the Cloud Directory team. And really to work on the cloud-based identity services that Microsoft has, and in particular, Live ID service.
All right, and speaking of Live ID, let me zoom on your t-shirt. All right, ta-da! I want one of those. Sorry, I interrupted you. And so you focus on the cloud services, and specifically, in which products are under your domain?
So the main one that people see is the Live ID identity provider. So that's if you have a Hotmail account or you use Messenger, you're using that as an identity provider. We run all the identity services for all the Microsoft web properties, whether it be Hotmail, MSN, Messenger, even Microsoft.com, MSDN.
Well, that's a lot of responsibility.
Sure
is. I don't envy you. But you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I have to confess that I came here with one agenda. Let's say that there is one specific service I would really, really like to hear your take about. And that service is the Microsoft Federation Gateway. Would you care to share some details about that with us?
Sure. So, the Microsoft Federation Gateway is the subject of a lot of myth and misunderstanding.
All right.
So let's see if we can clear that up today. What it is a way for people to connect into the Federation ecosystem. So it's an online service that we run that allows both service providers, like ISVs, people writing applications, they can integrate into the Federation Gateway, and additional identity providers can do the same. And it's a way to basically connect those two together at its simplest. It's all based on standards, web service standards like WS Federation. And there's, it sounds easy, but there's actually a lot of complexity and things that have to happen behind the scenes there. Just to give you a sense of scale, that Federation Gateway handles about 1.6 billion authentications every day.
Oh, my God. This is astounding. Those are really mind-boggling numbers. And it's right. When from outside, it doesn't really look like everything works. And who would imagine that is in the billions this stuff?
Yes.
That's incredible. So I kind of understood because I spend a lot of time on these things. But I think that if you could make a schema on your wonderful whiteboard, I think that it would really help to give concreteness to what you just said.
Yeah. So let's take a look at similar details around the Federation Gateway. So there's really two sides to this picture. One is the identity providers, and one is the relying parties. So let's start off with the identity providers.
All right.
So everybody has at least one account somewhere. It's probably you have one at work. You're probably signed into your PC every day. So somewhere there's this database of users, and that in the case of Microsoft, we have several and lots of instances of AD, but ultimately there's a directory of users. Now, the problem I have as an identity security guy is I absolutely hate creating new accounts. I've got plenty of accounts already. I just want to reuse the ones I have. And so this is a way, the Federation Gateway is a way for us to do this. So let's draw the Federation Gateway as this big box in the middle. So we've got the users here. We have to connect these two together. So the first thing we do is we add Geneva. Or as I should say, Active Directory Federation Services version 2.
Perfect. Our marketing department is proud of you.
It'll always be Geneva to me, I'm afraid. So that's ADFSB2.0. So this is Geneva that you've heard a lot about in previous PDCs and tech eds and things like that. It's a standard-based service that is basically projecting these user identities into the cloud. And so ultimately, we can then connect the Geneva server, or ADFS v2, to the Federation Gateway. We establish a trust link.
How hard is to do it?
That could be really hard, but we've actually been working a lot to actually make this a lot simpler. Just to give you a little bit of background here, the Federation Gateway itself has been around in production deployment since 2006.
Wow, that's the bestest kept secret ever.
It is. And there's a good reason why we kept that secret. Because it used to be, for every identity provider we wanted to add into this system, we had to manually collect a lot of information from them, like their certificates and issue URIs and all those kind of things. And we had to manually enter it into our little database, which kind of works for, 10 people, 10 partners, 20 partners. It doesn't work for, 100,000 partners and a million partners. But thankfully, we've now solved that problem. So what we have is we have a service that we've written, a trust provisioning service. And this allows ADFS v2 Geneva to send a message and basically provision itself into the Federation Gateway. Now, that could be open to a lot of misuse and interpretation. So the way we've developed this is to create a link for a certain domain. So let's say this is contoso.com, the world famous company that everybody's heard of. To establish a trust link with the Federation Gateway for contoso.com, you have to own an SSL domain certificate for that domain. So these are things that you can get from VeriSign or GeoTrust or a lot of other companies. But basically, we take proof of ownership of a certificate for that domain to be proof of ownership of the domain. There's actually various ways you can prove a domain, but this is the one that we wanted to do to make it as automatic as possible.
Right.
And so, to establish this trust link, you basically send a message to the trust provisioning service with all the metadata that Geneva has about itself that we need to basically be able to connect that link. So, let's say this is things like the trust provision, the signing certificate, the description, the issue URI, the endpoint information, a lot of sort of things like that. The message itself is all based on Libby's Federation metadata.
All right. And this is actually a good chance for making clarity on this specific area. I know that there is a tool that you can download for configuring ADFS 2.0 for doing this without much hassle. In the past, we had a different methodology for this, right? We had what was called the Microsoft Services Connector.
That's right. It's a good point you bring up there. Let's just review the history a little bit.
All right.
Because it brings up an interesting point. So we used to have something that, in fact, my team was working on, called the Microsoft Services Connector. And this was, it was basically an STS in a box. It was focused towards integration with the Federation Gateway, and that's basically all it did. Now, under the surface, it was using the Geneva framework technology, so it's based on exactly the same thing that Geneva Server itself is based on, but this was very focused to, if you like, the sort of end of the customer spectrum that doesn't have a lot of IT expertise on site, probably doesn't even have an IT person full-time. So things like small companies that run like small business server, for example, that's a great example.
Right.
You know, they probably have one guy that maybe does like a couple of hours every week, and he's the IT guy.
Right.
He's not a full-time guy. And so we wanted to make this as simple as possible. So the focus was very much on simplifying this experience. So this is where we developed the trust provisioning service. This is where we developed this messaging exchange protocol here. And the idea was, again, it would connect to your AD, and it would, again, project these identities into the cloud. Now, you may see a similarity in this picture.
Yeah.
And originally the thinking was that Geneva Server was the sort of the super high-end version, lots of flexibility, lots of customization options. And Services Connector was the sort of the lower-end version. It was very focused, very targeted, but you know, focused very much on that audience segment. Now, through a lot of working together as between the Geneva team and the Live Connector team, we basically worked out, surprise, surprise, that we're actually doing a lot of the similar stuff. And so what we did is we have basically we basically set up as Geneva Server is the on-premise software that will connect you into the Federation Cloud. So basically this Service Connector is now replaced by Geneva. Now there was some gaps in that process. Service Connector, say, was very much focused on the ease of administration, ease of use aspect. So we've been working with the Geneva team to basically provide a lot of that equivalent functionality for Geneva Server itself. So you get the one-click federation that you used to get with Services Connector, and we demoed at PDC last year. And it really extends the reach of Geneva Server, not just from the high-end, you know, super IT guys, but down to the sort of the lower end of the scale as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to remind the audience, the tool that can set that Federation Trust line that Jörn drawn is available. Like, it's in beta form, but you can download it, and you can actually try these today.
Yep.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sorry for making this detour, but I think it was useful. Then, let's say that now we succeeded in setting all of these trust relationship and so on. So what can I do now?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. We've done all this work. What do we actually get for this? What we can do with this this Geneva server is it can then issue SAML tokens on behalf of the users that it's looking after. So, for example, if I'm Jörn at contozo.com, Geneva here can issue me a SAML token that proves that I am Jörn at contozo.com. And it can send that to the Federation Gateway. And the Federation Gateway, it can then check the digital signatures and things like that against the metadata information it already has, because we swapped certificates right at the start. And it can then know that, yes, that really did come from the endpoint that I know is contozo.com. So now this guy knows I'm Contoso.com. I don't have to create a new account. Anything that's connected to this Federation Gateway will know me by the account that I have at work and I use every day. Which is probably a useful segue into the other side of the equation. You'd think we planned this, wouldn't we? Okay, so that's the sort of identity provider picture. But see, if all we do is connect to the Federation Gateway, then that's, you know, that's an interesting academic exercise, but it doesn't really give us much benefit. So what we have over here is different line parties. Line parties is, as the name might imply, it's in an identity sense, it's relying on the identity information that comes from downstream. So this relying party can connect to the Federation Gateway. Again, it goes through a provisioning process where it has to basically make sure it gets the certificates from the Federation Gateway so that it knows when it receives a SAML token, it really did come from the Federation Gateway, not from some middleman that's trying to spoof us. So the relying party can then accept identities from the Federation Gateway. And because of the way we've connected things, it means it can automatically accept identities from Contoso.com or all the other identity providers that are connected into the Federation Gateway. It doesn't have to worry about that. The Federation Gateway is handling all that configuration, connectivity for it. It just has to know, I trust tokens that are issued by the Federation Gateway. Now that is, at a simple level, that's what it's all about. But let's look at what sort of things could this relying party be. So the obvious thing is, you know, you can just write an application and you can be a relying party. Or if you're an ISV, you can write an application that you sell to others and it can use be a relying party for this. So that's obviously one area that's, you know, pretty important. And there's a lot of benefits from using that. The other benefit, and it's one that's been driven by a lot of these guys, is so this could be something like some of the Microsoft Online Services. So things like CRM Online, Exchange Online, all those services that Microsoft is working on that will run in the cloud. And they are relying parties to the Federation Gateway as well. So you can see how the picture builds up. So if this is CRM, and this is ISV app, users from here can access both of these in exactly the same way. They don't have to set up a specific connection to every relying party that people in that company want to use. And equally, it works the other way around. So the CRM team don't have to configure lots of relationships with every one of their customers. They can just configure with the Federation Gateway. And then because of this auto-provisioning process that we have, we can scale this out to, you know, 100,000, a million partners pretty easily.
Whoa. So just to make it super explicit, does this mean that one user in Contoso.com can go straight to the CRM application that lives on Microsoft servers and just make a single sign-on without having been provisioned another account? They can use their own account in their own directory?
Like all good identity answers, the answer is yes and no.
All right.
it's always sounds easy on paper, but in practice it's a little bit different. So the simple answer is yes. So these identities flow right through to all of these relying parties. They don't have to create new accounts, so we handle all the mapping. Now, each of these services, they may have their own business policies about what does it take for a user to get to use that service. So, for example, for CRM Online, your company may have bought a 5-user license or a 10-user license, and those 10 users are allowed to access the service, but the rest of the users won't be able to. So there's still a level of access control that happens above this. This is just really basically sharing identity information. And then the business rules from the different services will then come into play as to what those users can do.
It makes complete sense, of course. That's the way it should work.
Yeah.
That's great. And just for the for completeness, those are business services, but I heard that if you use the MFG, you can actually do the same with other live services.
Yeah, so let's fill in the other pieces. So this is live.com. And it acts in exactly the same way. It's a reliant party to the Federation Gateway. Similarly for MSN or MSDN. They're all doing exactly the same thing. Now, I know you're going to ask the question, so I'm going to preempt you already.
You know me well.
What about all these Live ID users that we have? Because, there's actually quite a few of those. There's 550 million at the last count.
Whoa!
That's a pretty big audience. If you're this ISV writing your application, then that's quite a big audience. And, pretty much everybody you deal with will have a Live ID account. So how does this Live ID fit into this? So it basically fits in here. Excuse my writing.
Mine is much worse.
Can you read that?
Yep. Live ID.
Live IDP. So Live ID is an identity provider. It's hooked into the Federation Gateway as well, just as if this was for Contoso.com users or Microsoft.com users or whatever. So almost 500 million, 550 million, we should say, users. Again, they can use the Federation Gateway. They can connect through to all the reliant parties. And for them, it just works. That is actually the goal of this team and identity teams in general. If you start to see the identity happening, it's noticeable, then we've done our job wrong. If it just happens and you don't really know what's happened behind the scenes, you don't see it, then we've done our job right.
And that's really great. So let me make sure that I understand the practical implications of this. So let's say that you have one, like that ISV that you were mentioning, that is trusting the Microsoft Federation Gateway to provide identities. Let's say that that ISV is selling services to Contoso, but that they also want to sell services to somebody who is not affiliated to Contoso. Let's say, private contractor. And so anybody with a Live ID can show up and just go through the MFG and access the ISV application?
Yep, exactly. So anyone that's got a Live ID account, they'll appear through the Federation Gateway to the Reliant Party as well.
That's great. And since you spoke about Federation, that means that if I wrote the Reliant Party with our Federation technology, such as, for example, the Windows Identity Foundation, also known as Geneva Framework, then that means that whoever has a Live ID account can access applications written with Windows Identity Foundation going through the MFG?
Yep, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Like, you get 550 million like these in an application. That's really great.
That's a pretty good marketplace to start with.
That's really, really awesome. So, I think that there is really a lot of digest, so I would not... I would not drill further, because I think that you gave really a very, very nice overview, and you gave a good idea of the possibilities. And I guess that all this is documented on our MSDN.
Yep, so there's lots of information on MSDN about how this works in practice behind the scenes. So there's a massive big white paper, for example, about the Federation Gateway. And it goes into the excruciating detail of what's the format of these messages and what's the format of these messages that come out and the SAML token contents and all those kind of things. So if you really want to look at that, it's all there. You
can fantastic.
Go and geek out.
Perfect. And in the famous identity training kit, we do have a couple of exercises in which we show, without saying that is Microsoft, or maybe we say it, I don't remember. Anyway, we have one exercise in which we show how to build a relying party like the ISV that Jörn just mentioned, and how to connect it and configure it with Microsoft Federation Gateway. So it's a nice sensation when you go there with your own live ID and you land into the app. It's really great. Fantastic. So thank you so much for the time, but I'm not going to leave you from the hook yet, because I'm sure that everybody will be curious about the future. Like, the present already looks very bright, but is there anything that you can share with us about the evolution of this?
So there's really a couple of things that, that some of it is sort of inherent in this architecture, but some of it is worth pointing out.
You want to use a different color for the future?
Yep. So here we had Active Directory users. So this was AD, which of course is the best directory service in the world.
Of course. As a shareholder, I completely agree.
But some people, they like to use different ones, which, yeah, okay, that's fine. So maybe they've got a Novell or LDAP service or something like that. We're talking with partners about how they can have a connector that, again, connects into this. Now, in theory, all the pieces are there. This is just a AWS Federation STS. So all the pieces are there, but as we all know, 4 years in the web service standards team taught me a lot of this. Interoperability in reality is often very different from what it is on paper. So we're looking at, you know, actually proving this. How do we connect something like, say, Ping Federate into the Federation Gateway? And that's both on the sort of the SAML messages and also these trust provisioning messages. So there's a lot of work to do there to get this to be an easy to use experience for more users than just the ones that use Active Directory. The second piece is there's some connectors out there as well that already speak SAML 2.0 protocol.
Including the Geneva server. ADFS.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself. But things like a lot of the education establishments, they already speak SAML 2.0 protocol. Shibboleth and those kind of standards are pretty well established in the education community. And so one of the things we're looking at is how do we connect into the Federation Gateway using SAML 2.0 protocol as well.
Fantastic.
We've got a lot of customers that are asking for this.
Yeah, a lot of people will love to hear this.
And then, obviously, you can then use CRM, you can then use Exchange Online, you can use all of the Microsoft business services that we're developing with your Shibboleth accounts, or the ISV accounts, or the live accounts, or the live services, or whatever.
That's really, really awesome. And honestly, I wasn't hoping for something so mind-boggling when I asked you about the future. So, thank you for this, and thank you for taking the time to talk with us about the MFG. And I am sure that as we go forward, we'll feature you again in the show, if you will be so inclined.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.